welcome back. Glad to have you with us. That's the Jeff and Erica COVID Chronicles update for you tonight. We always try and tackle different subjects and bring different information forward. We don't have the answers for everything, but we've got some pretty good pieces for you to put on your puzzle board and try to work it out yourself. And we urge that all the time. Think, always think. Try and come up with your own reactive, proactive definitions. Hello there, young lady.
Hello, Jeff. Happy Labor Day.
Yeah. What did you barbecue steaks today? What did you do today?
Oh, I enjoy the last of, well, I don't know. Hopefully it's not the last of the good weather.
The last rose of summer.
Yeah.
Something like that. We have a lot to talk about here. The the new booster that's coming out, and I think all of you have heard me say this before. We've been saying it. The new booster does not cover the three new variants, one of which is called Pirola, and Pirola is raging, they say, in the UK, and it's beginning to burst out all over here. We've got a report from Nurse Anne, which I'll bring to you in just a minute. But let me remind you that the booster they're asking you to take is back on XBB. It's the Omicron. It's an Omicron sub, okay? It's a variant of the Omicron. It doesn't even pretend to cover Fornax, Pirola, or Iris. It's not going to do any good for those at all. So obviously we're completely against anyone even thinking about getting this stuff because who knows what they put in it to make it worse. Now, it is allegedly the Pirola variant that is causing the most trouble right now. I'm waiting for confirmation from Nurse Anne about that as well. Whoever names these variants is very suspicious. Fornax, F-O-R-N-A-X, if you look it up, you'll come back with either oven or furnace or both. Pirola means a dark asteroid. It's an asteroid. Was it near Venus or Jupiter? I can't remember. But anyway, it's out there. It's well known. It's a big one. Iris means the goddess of chaos. So you've got an asteroid, you've got chaos, and you've got a furnace or an oven. Those are not happy subjects. They're nailing us with this crap. And I think it's predictive programming. I don't even think it's programming. They're just telling us what they're going to do. So we will see. Any thoughts on the Pirola, which is supposedly big in the UK now, too?
Well, I guess the only question is, was it artificially disseminated, or is it genuinely a sporadic, naturally occurring mutation? Does it matter?
It's being artificially inseminated into all of us. That's their plan, anyway.
Right.
So I think the evidence is now more than circumspect and circumstantial that it's being spread intentionally. It's being planted. I mean, that story about the Chinese woman in the grocery store is one of probably countless thousands just like it. We don't know for sure, but I just don't think that was a random event.
No, that's alarming. That's very alarming.
And also,
CDC has already alerted the vax population that they will probably, they definitely won't have any protection from prior vaccination against this new variant.
All those shots, those 25 shots Fred Jones got, don't mean anything now.
Yes. So that's their official position.
Yeah.
If they go ahead and get this next booster, which I saw in another group today. This is a medical practitioners group. Mm-hmm. There are some people that can't wait to get this thing.
Oh, man.
And it's incredible.
It's not even geared toward allegedly giving you any, to confer anything of benefit on you regarding the newest three. Nothing. Nothing.
And haven't they been observing what's been happening to at least some of the people who have gotten these shots?
I
don't know. How can you miss it at this point?
It is absolutely appalling what's going on here. All right. I've got this from Nurse Anne. Okay. Now, she's working in a very big hospital. She was, her contract, she's a travel nurse, so-called contract nurse. She's under a new contract. She just went back to work, I guess, last week. And she let us know that her unit, I asked if there were Parola variant cases coming in. And I got back word that no one on one day, and then the next day there were three or four, but now they are flocking in to the hospital. We're going to assume it's Parola, but I cannot guarantee that. That's not vetted yet, but it's a new strain. And she says, keep in mind they are confirming all these cases with a PCR test. Well, that puts us back to square one, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What kind of a test is that? Is it going
to tell
us?
Well, it's not
going to
distinguish these different variants. I mean, the PCR is supposed to be testing the conserved portion of the nucleocapsid protein. That's supposed to be unchanged from variant to variant for now. Although, this latest, I don't know if it's the Eris or the Parola being BA2.86, this is the one that has a total of 122 mutations in it from the original one. Uh-huh. 61 of those mutations are in the spike, so there's other mutations that have occurred throughout the virus. I don't know if any of those pertain to the nucleocapsid, so that could invalidate the PCR. I don't know. We don't know what they're using for a primer sequence in the PCR.
61
that,
variations.
You know, that was all a game anyway.
Yes, 61.
Why would that change?
61 spike
61,
variations?
Mutations in the spike and 122 total.
So let's say we have a new spike to a large degree in one of these or all three of these newest strains, Parola, and the spike has 61 mutations in it. What is to make us think that those mutations, or many of them, are not artificial or synthetic, that they've been made to that synthetic protein already, and they've made it worse? What is to make us think that we have any reason to relax here? They're going to ratchet this up, if anything, with these mutations.
Was it the Japanese paper? A Japanese paper was just published that showed that all of these mutations, these variants of concern, were artificial, that they could not have been naturally occurring.
I think that was the Japanese paper, but yes, none of them are natural, okay? And people always talk about how viruses can naturally mutate. Well, they can, but this is all synthetic, all of it. So I hear 61 mutations, and I say, geez, what are they? Sounds to me like they went back to the lab and tweaked it up to make it more pathogenic. That's my initial response. Call me paranoid. I don't care. We'll see. We'll see.
Now, well, every variation of the spike that they put out can be tweaked in such a way to have it have a different physiological effect.
Everyone. Let me go back to what Nurse Anne says here. She says, they're flocking in now. Keep in mind, they are confirming all these cases with PCR tests, and she confirmed that they all present, all the people showing up at the hospital, with respiratory issues. So this is hitting the pulmonary system real hard. No one on ventilators yet. But, she says, they're getting close. When they start putting people on vents, they're going to just take them right out the back door to the morgue. She said they're very ill. She has a friend who's a nurse who is now deathly ill with something of a respiratory nature along the lines of a severe cold or a really bad flu. Something is up. The question is what? They can name this thing anything they want. Also, she says more people, remember how Erica and I have been talking about falls, people falling more and more EMT calls, fire calls for people who have fallen. She said also more people are falling than ever before. And strokes are on the rise. Now, this goes hand in hand with what someone else said, that in fact it was Nurse Ann, that most ERs are seeing nothing but strokes and heart attacks now. That's about it. They're just overloaded. And you can wait over 20 hours to be seen while you have four more strokes. These are actually the biggest issues, she says. And then again, I'm in the neuro ICU. She's in the neurology ICU. So she did say, all right, she did say that they are a dumping ground in that unit for all these cases, and violent behavior is on the rise. Violent behavior. She said old people are acting violently, and the families are saying the person never acted like that before. Things are heating up on multiple fronts, and we hope to have Nurse Ann back when she is available soon. But that's the latest from her to us, to you. So, people showing hostility, anger, acting out. What have we talked about? And you all know basically why. The bottom line, if you don't know, is we suspect microclotting in the brain and death to certain brain cells. Depends on where this stuff is worst. You're going to see that kind of a personality change. But it kind of covers the whole brain. Brain cells do not regenerate. Once they're dead, they're dead. And a microclot at the capillary level will kill a lot of cells. So it may be teeny tiny, but it adds up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Now they're jumping all over Anthony Fauci. And they rolled him out of his casket and put him back to work. And he's saying now that masks work. Well, he's right. They actually do work. We've explained it. We've got a video up there. Look under the archive on the right side. You'll see the video. It explains exactly how N95 masks can work, even against things that are smaller than the smallest hole in the actual mask fiber or fabric setup, however they're constructed. Because there are things involved like electrostatic charging, sticky surfaces. They work. And usually proteins aren't floating around by themselves. They're usually linked up to something, docked to something, so they're bigger than a simple protein. Anyhow, there's a big argument about masks. I look at that as misdirection. The issue is not masks. The issue is, did they loose something else on the world? It looks like they may have. That's the big issue. Masks
work. Yeah, it does. It's bio-warfare. The cat's out of the bag. I would say, you know, use common sense.
Well, that died several years ago. Not much of that left. It's an endangered species. Common sense. Wow. And Gates has said now, people who resist the coming mRNA vaccine tsunami will be excluded from society. But this is total war on us, okay? Total war on humankind. That's what it is. All right, we've got Naomi Wolf. Wow, I just looked at the picture. Okay. She's got some kind of a, what was it, a conference? Had Peter McCullough there, Paul Elias Alexander there, William Mackus, Roger Hodgkinson. What do you got there? We're going to start playing chess.
I guess it's a little bit of a round table here. They're talking about what is the spike. And each one of these doctors has some input on how to describe it, what its significance is, how to deal with it. And these doctors are all part of this consortium they're calling the Wellness Company now, which is, I would guess, is kind of the rival, and if that's the right word, for the FLCCC. Well, they're probably not rivals. They're probably more of collaborators. But just another option for vax-injured people to try to get some help.
Right.
Conventional doctors don't seem...
Oh, my.
Very competent in treating many of these vaccine-related injuries.
No.
So you can spend a lot of time, waste a lot of time waiting for appointments, waiting for diagnostics.
Tests.
Lots of tests. Only to get nowhere. I mean, the gaslighting is still happening. So I believe these doctors, like the FLCCC, also offer telehealth consults. And I think they're also offering some sort of a membership where you pay a flat fee, and then you have access to their expertise, so to speak.
Okay. Here's the first clip, and this is Dr. William Mackis, an oncologist, and then Peter McCullough and Roger Hodgkinson. They speak about how bad the vaccine is. Before we do that, what is the spike protein? I hope that they're not approaching it as something that is stable, because with 61 new mutations, it's not stable at all. It bears little resemblance to the first spike protein of nearly 3 years ago, I would think. So what's it doing? We're going to have to watch. We're going to watch it very carefully for you and let you know, to the best of our ability, what's going on. But this new variant is apparently dealing with a relatively new spike format. All right? Here we go.
Thank you for that comprehensive answer. So let me turn to the oncologist, Dr. Mackis. Specifically, tell me more about how the spike protein affects the human body. In addition to cardiovascularly, what are some other problems that it can cause that you're seeing?
Well, you know, the one of the problems of many of the vaccines, especially, the Pfizer and Moderna, was the lipid nanoparticle that packages the mRNA that codes for the spike protein. Mm-hmm. And the lipid nanoparticle was basically designed to deliver chemotherapy all over the body. And it was now repurposed for the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. Mm-hmm. They package the mRNA that codes for the spike protein in these lipid nanoparticles. We now know that these lipid nanoparticles, they end up in the bloodstream. They go all over the body. And the lipid nanoparticles, they deliver this mRNA, which then codes for the spike protein, into the various organs, into the heart. Mm-hmm. Gets into the brain, gets into the liver, the kidneys, the testes, the ovaries, the bone marrow. And that is why we're starting to see some of these horrific injuries mm-hmm. that are, you know, all over the body. Mm-hmm. Cardiovascular injuries, brain injuries, autoimmune issues, mm-hmm. You name it, fertility issues.
Right.
That's a big one.
By the way, and I think this merits pointing out, Erica has said many times that the LNP component in and of itself is toxic. So don't forget that. None of this is good. None of it.
Thank you so much. Does anyone else want to add anything about how spike manifests in the body before we go on to the next question?
I think it's important for people to understand that viruses have proteins on their surface in order to attach to cells. So there's a spike protein for the influenza virus. It's called the hemagglutinase. But natural viruses, the body has a way of breaking them down and disposing them. We all get common colds and we handle it. What's unique here is the spike protein was intentionally manipulated by design in the Wuhan Institute of Virology by U.S. research that had a goal of making the spike protein carry this virus and become far more contagious and far more dangerous. The spike protein docks with the ACE2 receptor, it's called the receptor binding domain, and then injects itself into the human body via the spike protein.
Now, that's Peter McCullough. There was a paper, was this also a Japanese paper about the fat cells? Tell us about that.
Yeah, this paper, I want to say it came out in 2021, showing that the virus can infect fat cells. And the I don't know if the paper said that it could actually replicate in these fat cells. Because sometimes you can have a virus that succeeds in entering a cell and just hanging out there, but not actually reproducing itself. But regardless, that could be a reservoir if you had acquired the infection, had viral particles within you, and you think you got over it, but no, there was this latent reservoir of live virus in your fat cells that could, at a later date, exit those fat cells and begin to cause another infection. I don't know that anybody's looking at that. I mean, they do, I guess, believe that the virus can hang out latently. There are various organs and tissues, such as the testes, because it's immunologically privileged. If it makes it to that organ, it can stay there undetected by the immune system and then reactivate at a later date. So the same may be true for fat cells and maybe other cells. They haven't really determined if this is happening and to what extent it's happening.
Don't just think ACE2. Think fat cells as potentially being another docking station. And I think most of you understand that fat cells are everywhere. All right, hold on. Yeah. Here we go.
The vaccines do is they inject the genetic code and bypass the human's immune system. And now normal cells in the body, what's called somatic cells, produce the spike protein for an uncontrolled duration and an uncontrolled quantity. And there's no stop button here. Mm. This isn't like a shot where there's a set amount of spike protein. There's only one vaccine that gives a set amount of spike protein. That's the Novavax vaccine. All the ones are genetic, and it's the uncontrolled production of spike protein and its danger that makes us so concerned about the vaccines.
Yes, Dr.
And the process continues beyond that, because we now know...
Dr. Roger Hodgkinson.
...that the RNA in the vaccine can be what we call reverse transcribed, which means the information in the RNA can be incorporated into the DNA of the cell. The significance of that is it can be permanent, mm-hmm. which means transgenerational, which mm-hmm. means permanent change to humanity. Not studied in terms of its frequency and its implications. Mm-hmm. That is one of the scariest things that really is happening with this so-called vaccine.
It's possible that those who took the vaccine will never be the same again. A paper by Marcus Alden, first author, Yang D. Marin, senior author, Malmo, Sweden. D. Marin is, by the way, a very well-respected molecular biologist. This paper has not been challenged. They showed that Pfizer, within a few hours of injection in human hepatoma cell line, is readily reverse transcribed. That is, the human body assembles base pairs to line up against Pfizer, takes a mirror image of Pfizer, and then installs it into the nucleus, into human DNA, changing the human genome. The reporter region was 444 base pairs out of the full 1280 base pairs, but it's right in the middle, and it's a very reliable area. The investigators are certain that it got into the human nucleus. It was a very clear signal. No one has challenged that finding. So at least a mosaic of cells, and it depends mm-hmm. on how many cells actually are touched by the lipid nanoparticles of messenger RNA, but mm-hmm. for sure, a mosaic of cells have been permanently changed.
Yeah. So can I ask, I'm sorry, can I ask for a layperson, what are the implications of that? Why would that matter?
You could be producing the spike protein forever.
Forever, indefinitely.
Not just in a person, but the human race may be producing it forever.
Because of the reverse transcription, because of the ability. Well, also, there's another thought that we haven't really brought up today, which is the contamination with DNA plasmids within the vaccines themselves. Yep. And the fact that DNA plasmid contamination could also affect the gut bacteria and inject itself into E. coli, which could then become self-replicating through your gut bacteria. And then also potentially...
But again, which would mean what? For a layperson,
your bacteria in your gut because of the potential DNA plasmid, could start producing spike. And this is...
Which could mean, I'm sorry to keep pushing, but what's the risk of that?
In lay terms, you could be shedding spike in your shit forever.
So interesting.
Okay, that's the first segment. Well, I think you heard right there enough to give you an idea of why we are not in favor of people telling others that, you can detox this. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Just drink MMS. It'll detox it right out of you. Take EDTA. It'll detox all those genetic changes you just heard mentioned. No, it won't. And in point of fact, it'll do you some real damage. MMS, CDS, we've spent enough time on it. It is not something to play with. It will not reverse the damage done by the injection. Or, more and more it looks like, done to the people who have not been injected, but who hang around the vaxxed. They're getting shed upon, and they're being changed. And I agree that people who have taken these shots will never be the same again. How many people have we heard claiming that after vaccination, that they feel is just as good as they did before? Or if they've been injured, how many people have recovered and say, I'm just as good as I was before? I'm not seeing it anywhere. Are you?
Not the people who have been injured that have obvious injuries. But there's a whole subset of people who have taken multiple injections that appear to be fine, claim to be fine. Whether they are fine or not, time will tell. I mean, these are the people that are all ready and waiting for this next booster. But that said, a lot of these people are sick. They now have long COVID, what they think is long COVID, which is probably really a vax injury, or maybe a vax injury in combination with the infection, COVID.
Long vax,
whatever. They're not well. But they don't. They think this is something transient, and it's just a matter of getting another shot to get them over the finish line.
All right. Here's another clip. I hope all this is making sense for you. Please listen to the recording of the program a couple of times. Make sure it all seeps in. If you're interested in all this, I assume most of you are. You wouldn't be listening. And share it with those who have an open mind. Don't waste your time with those who think you're crazy. It's just not going to work. And that's sad, but it's true. All right, here's the second piece, how the mRNA in the vax made the spike humanized the spike protein, a synthetic protein which now has just undergone 62 mutations. So what will it be doing this time around, running along with the Parola variant? Don't know. Here we go.
Over years.
Right. So let me try to say in lay English what I think I'm hearing. The spike protein is not natural, right? No. It's something the human body has not encountered before.
Never.
It was artificially created. It has been disguised, essentially, to sneak past the immune system. It may lodge itself in our gut, mm-hmm. producing more spike protein. Mm-hmm. It may produce more spike protein forever. Mm-hmm. Is that what you've said?
Theoretically.
And not just for this generation, but for generations to come. Am I correctly summarizing what all of you have said?
That's correct, but keep in mind that the spike protein is the product of the genetic code. So everything you said is correct because the genetic code is right there to produce the spike protein. The human body doesn't normally produce this.
But don't worry, just pour yourself a double MMS, CDS, and drink up. You'll be fine. That bleach will go right on in there and take care of the genetic change in your body, this multi-generational, in all likelihood, change to your body and the human genome. We're now no longer what we were, those of us who have been injected, I'm speaking collectively, with these shots. It's not a joke.
Never
right.
produces, never. The inside of human cells have never produced right. spike protein as part of a protein synthesis in human cells. The vaccines are harnessing human cell biology and producing this deadly protein.
So it's kind of weaponizing evolution.
Well, one thing I want to point out is people say, well, there's spike protein in COVID, the virus itself, that, uh-huh. you know, and so the virus is also as dangerous. But as Dr. McCullough has mentioned, they've actually modified the mRNA. So the spike protein in the vaccines is modified to be resistant to breakdown, whereas right. the spike protein in the virus, breaks our body down. Can break it down and deal with it much more easily.
Well, and another thing is once somebody...
So that's important, Erica. The difference on this, these both are synthetic, both are completely unnatural, these spike proteins. The spike protein in the virus that the virus brings to the body when you become infected with the COVID virus, SARS-CoV-2, is different than the one that's in the injections. And
that's
now
right.
it's far different. 62 more mutations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like another virus.
All right.
So what's important here is the spike from the vaccine is one unit, the whole spike. So it's not able to be cleaved the way the one in the virus can be. So you can tell in a blood sample of a person who's been vaxxed if they're carrying the spike from the vaccine versus the spike from the virus, because typically it's the S1 portion of the spike protein that will persist in the bloodstream, in the monocytes, after an infection, versus with a vaccine, it's the whole spike, the S1 and the S2, and that seems to be extremely problematic, having that full-length spike protein as opposed to just the S1 portion of it from a natural infection, as if that isn't bad enough.
All right, very good. Here we go.
With a COVID virus, and the cells that are infected with COVID virus are going to produce spike. The difference between an infection and the vaccine is the vaccine, because of the lipid nanoparticle technology, is designed to be able to go throughout the body
right.
diffusely
right.
to produce spike protein.
Okay.
So it's a much different production.
So it's much more integrated into mm-hmm. the human
and
body.
Diffuse.
Right. Well, there's a subtlety here. There's a seminal paper by Nunez Castillo showing that the genetic code in Pfizer Moderna had to be humanized in order for human ribosomes to read it. So it's not just straight messenger RNA out of the vial that is the perfect code matching the Wuhan strain.
Right.
There are segments that had to be humanized so the ribosomes would read it and actually accept it. Otherwise,
right.
the ribosomes, it never would have engaged
right.
to produce it.
Right.
And so these humanized segments of the messenger RNA in their work suggests that some of the spike protein is sufficient enough to human code to create autoimmunity. This is really worrisome. And so the homology...
You mean to turn our bodies against themselves?
Well, here's an example. And in the paper, it's pointed out that there's about 30 of these areas where there's homology. So there's homology...
What's homology?
Homology means there's similarity enough. So, for instance,
okay.
there's similarity enough, for instance, on blood clotting factors to promote blood clotting. There's similarity enough, for instance... on a tumor suppressor or activation. Well, on the cancer side, there's homology enough for various other proteins that would incite autoimmunity. So this is scary. This is a scary new reality.
Can I just rephrase what I think you just said? I think you just said that the way the spike was manufactured embeds in itself disease causation in the human body. Is that correct?
There are sequences in the spike that are similar to our
tissue.
Proteins in our tissues.
Right. So why is that bad?
Normal. Well,
why
it's bad is because if you develop an immune reaction against the spike protein,
oh,
now
your immune system is going
to look at your some of your normal
right.
proteins that are similar, start attacking those as well.
So this
and
is
that
like,
is the autoimmunity.
Like a lupus type, autoimmune type.
There's an autoimmune
reaction.
Attack on your normal,
on
your normal
for
tissues
those cells
as well.
That are
like
showing
that
spikes.
Are similar.
Yeah,
oh
so in theory, after vaccination, the body could start attacking itself in other areas where the vaccine or spike protein is not even operating
right.
because of chipping off autoimmunity across multiple areas.
And the body normally, there is rare how it happens is after like a viral infection, you have increased risk of autoimmunity because of the antibodies that you, from a normal infection, mm-hmm. you would produce. And that's where, that's the antecedents of autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. What we're arguing is that, now what we're arguing, what the science is beginning to show is that the vaccine, because of the antibodies mm-hmm. being produced, the vaccine-induced antibodies mm-hmm. could set you up for a lifetime of autoimmune disease because your antibodies now, vaccine-induced antibodies, right. looking at your normal protein in right. your body tissue as foreign tissue. Right. Because the key in autoimmune disease is your ability to your immune system to recognize self
right.
components non-self. From and non-self.
Other. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. So this is just absolutely chilling because mm-hmm. you're describing something that must have been engineered because this is very sophisticated.
Certainly.
I mean, I know it was, but engineered to turn the body into its own enemy.
Okay, well, if you've been listening to this program for a long time, you've heard these things long ago. It's nice to see them being discussed at this level as well. It's critically important that everyone understand that you're not going to detox from this. It's just not going to happen. It's too diverse. It's tricking your entire body into attacking itself. And now we're seeing stories about people with skin issues, lesions and red spots and all kind. And that's on the outside of the skin. And as you said, we were talking earlier, what's going on the inside of the body with these autoimmune lesions? Could be anywhere.
I think this is a chicken that's come home to roost, this whole autoimmune thing that we did talk about it in the beginning, anticipated that this was going to be an issue because of all of these, as Peter McCullough was saying, homologous epitopes, these sequences of protein that are so similar to your body's own proteins that if you generate antibodies against them, well, those same antibodies will be used to go after your own proteins. Now, that's one form of immunity. And then the other form is this T-cell-driven autoimmunity, where your immune system sees certain cells of the body that have received the lipid nanoparticle and are now producing spike protein. Those are going to be attacked and destroyed. And that will continue until that cell either stops producing the spike or is destroyed and eliminated. Not a good thing if it's your heart or your liver or your kidney or your brain.
This is the most evil, wicked, deadly thing ever turned loose on humankind. Period. We've said this for years. It has so many different tentacles and pathways that are anti-life. This has been designed to take down the body as if it was a nation state. And you take the geopolitics apart. You take the entire economic financial system down. You kill the body. And this is the same kind of thing is happening with these shots. God,
you know, and it wouldn't matter what the protein is just based on that alone.
Doesn't
if it's a foreign protein and your body is not designed to produce it, you're going to have these types of reactions. The fact that it's a lethal protein just complicates it even more.
Well, I don't see. There are supplements that, even according to Peter McCullough, have been observed to be helpful in mitigating and reducing some of the symptomology, the negative symptomology of people who are in trouble, who have been injured. And that's a lot of people. So these supplements that are out there and being talked about, and I have a list, we've gone through it, are very important to the extent that at least it'll help manage some of it. Can't get to the cause and reverse the cause, not to my knowledge, not easily. If it does, glory be. But otherwise, these are symptom reducers. And maybe there's more
well,
to it, but we don't know.
You know, you're looking at people who have taken the shot now have a chronic health condition where their bodies are producing a potentially lethal foreign protein, and they've got to figure out a way to turn down the production of that protein. You know, it's anybody's guess which organs and tissues are producing it. I think over time it will become clear, because those organs and tissues will begin to be destroyed by the immune system. And then once that protein is produced, you've got to find a way to hopefully neutralize it to minimize the damage.
Right. And the damage
to
the brain?
But it's difficult. The few people I know that are, I mean, they've been very aggressive about getting proper treatment, and it's still a battle. And they're putting, both feet forward.
Right. The damage to the brain by the spike causing microclotting is baseline to understanding all of this. And the numbers of reports of people's personalities changing, they're not the same people anymore, are not to be just dismissed. This is a big indicator of something major that's being done to the brain. And we pretty well can make a guess at what it is. Now, here's a real kicker. The IgG4 question. I'm ready to go with this. You want to jump in, or do you want to say anything pre?
Well, that's been in the news a bit lately. This class of antibodies known as IgG4, immune gamma globulin 4, and it's generally the type of antibody that you see when you're continually exposed to a antigen, like, for example, bee venom, beekeepers that are continually exposed to venom, where it happens so often that their bodies figure out that, well, okay, it's bad, but it's not
warranting. We shouldn't
warranting.
Go crazy. We shouldn't go nuts over it. All right.
Right.
Right. Okay, here we go. I'm curious. I've not heard this before. This is all first time for me, so it's interesting.
All that being said, can someone speak to increase IgG4 from IgG1, which I don't understand what that means. Okay, let's just move on.
I'll take it on real quickly. Let me take it on real quickly.
Please.
In 2021, there were a series of disturbing papers published. 2021, this early on the vaccine program, one notable paper is by Wheatley and colleagues, and making the case that if we were going to give a vaccine every 6 months and reinstall the genetic code for the same protein every 6 months, the human body will continue to see this and develop a form of immune imprinting. That is, in a sense, we'll say, listen, I saw this again. And then the human body would make switches in its immunoglobulin subclass because it keeps seeing the same thing, but there's not a real illness there. Mm-hmm. And so what's happened is with this immune imprinting, the human body's immune system has been misdirected and weakened. Mm. And by that fact, people who've taken the vaccine are more likely to get COVID. They're more likely to get recurrent COVID. And now a recent paper from Cleveland Clinic by Shretha and colleagues shows every dose of the vaccine, there's a greater chance of getting COVID over and over again compared to the unvaccinated who look the best.
So the idea of the shift towards IgG4, which is basically an immunoglobulin that is sort of gives you tolerance to an antigen, and that comes with we've seen that with repeated vaccinations. So if you've had the second shot, third shot, and so on, the more shots you have, the more of a tolerance that you build. And
I've got to move on to the next piece, but the idea of tolerance is one way to phrase it. The other way to phrase it is it basically tells your body, nothing to see here, move along. We've seen this before.
And yeah, that so that would basically, if and when you encounter the virus again, the body is not going to mount any sort of response to it.
Nope.
It's going to just allow it to persist. Now, maybe it's a rather benign virus and you'll be okay, but if it has lethal qualities to it, well, and my question is, there are now many people unvaxxed who have been around vaxxed and initially had shedding symptoms, maybe for a number of months even, who now claim to no longer have any symptoms. They can be around the vax, no problem. Have these people also developed IgG4 antibodies?
This could be catastrophic. This is playing out so many different directions. Not just drink up, MMS, no problem. Take that EDTA, no problem. Wrong. This is incredibly complicated, and it's not a simple thing. It was built to be incredibly complicated. It was built to defeat a species on this planet. Unfortunately, it's not holding the line at mammalian humans. It's killing horses, it's killing dogs, it's killing cats, and we don't know that it's not into the wild animal population yet. We don't know. It could be. This is a very hideous, indiscriminate killer. It takes life apart in ways that are extraordinary and astonishing and utterly evil. All right, last piece, myocarditis from infection versus myocarditis from injection. So infection meaning you get COVID, you get the COVID virus, you get myocarditis, or you're getting myocarditis from the injection, which several have said it seems to be that every single person who got an injection develops myocarditis, whether it's subclinical or observable. It's there. All right, here we go.
Ignorant. Yep. From the start. All right. So we've covered, is it pathological? Spike proteins and increased myocarditis. Is there a direct connection? Dr. McCullough.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'm a cardiologist, and I can tell you before COVID-19, I saw two cases of myocarditis my entire career. Ooh. It can happen. Right. It can happen with the parvovirus or adenovirus. There's actually the most deadly form is called giant cell myocarditis, of which we don't know what caused.
Two in his career.
Over decades.
Two cases.
Now I see two cases per day in the clinic. It's that frequent. What we learned is that COVID-19, the viral infection, can cause some myocarditis. The Israeli military, the U.S. military, the NCAA college athletic leagues had massive screening programs for COVID myocarditis in 2020 before the vaccines. What did they find? They found a handful of cases that would meet a definition, none serious, no hospitalizations and deaths, none. What happened is those organizations dropped their screening programs. The vaccines were introduced. Within 6 months, the FDA, the CDC, and every regulatory agency say the vaccines caused myocarditis, and the myocarditis we saw caused by the vaccines was serious. Rates of hospitalizations of young people were about 90%. And we've seen fatal case after fatal case. Most recent report by Cho and colleagues from Korea, this is stunning. They're reporting 480 cases in one paper, 21 deaths. Peak age, 18 to 24, 90% are men. COVID-19 vaccine-induced myocarditis is fatal, and people should understand that. Every shot they take, there's a risk.
There's a paper, a good paper that Dr. McCullough had cited and I had studied up more by Schwab et al. Out of Germany. They were 35 initially in this. They did autopsies, and they ended up with 25 of the autopsies where they showed five of them, about 20%, were directly, the deaths were due to myocarditis, and they found.
Okay, there you go. So, yes, you can get it from the virus. But you get it for sure, apparently, from the injections. And that's by design. Myocarditis, pericarditis, endocarditis, you don't want any of those things in your body. No shots, no how, no more needles. Just to say no to needles. That's one way to look at it. This is bad. Bad.
Well, on the official storyline narrative right now still is that COVID causes myocarditis, and you're much more at risk for developing myocarditis from the virus than you are from the shots. And it's patently false.
Now, these shots and the new booster coming out with the spike apparently showing a lot more mutations.
We don't know what features does this spike have.
Mm-mm.
Well, I mean, I guess we kind of know. It's supposedly based on this XBB by Omicron variant that's come and gone.
they're going to line. I'm afraid they're going to line up. And as you know, if you've been listening, we do a little research and we call places that pharmacies, and we found out that Rite Aid and Walgreens are doing a brisk business with the current version of the booster.
Yeah, still.
And Walgreens said it was over 40 a day at that one store.
Amazing.
So it's overwhelming. And I hear these quick fix solutions. And I just cringe. They're lies. These people are lying. The word grifter is being used more and more all the time. And here you have a mass of people, 80% plus in America and 6 to 7 billion around the world. And many of them are feeling awful. They don't feel well. And when you have an audience of potential consumers like that, people who are afraid, they're sick, they don't know what to do, they're going to glom on to hucksterism very, very easily. And there are an awful lot of people out there hustling these people and taking their money. And that is really, really evil in itself. Not good.
I have seen a few people just run the gamut that, you know, they've been sick now for a couple of years, and they finally figured. I mean, I don't even know how much money they've spent on these various so-called remedies and cures that really led nowhere. And now they've just given up.
Right. Well, again, even Peter McCullough says they have a little business and they recommend certain supplements. And he's said that they do seem to show some symptomatic relief. But we're not talking about reversing the genetic changes and basic biophysiological changes in the body that they don't reverse. You're not the same.
No, and so far, we have the best minds in the field working on these amyloid clots, and so far there isn't a quick fix to this. This is a very, very complicated problem.
Yeah. As we've said from the beginning, tentacles everywhere from this thing. Different pathways of destruction.
Yep.
What'd you think of what we just heard briefly? We got to run, but good advice. Things that we're familiar with and have been saying for a long time, and it's finally reverberating in the upper levels of the media.
With all of the evidence, I don't even know why we're talking about another booster.
I don't either.
It's not safe. It's not effective. It's not needed.
No.
Unless you're trying to kill someone.
You just summed it all up. That's the only justification or reason.
That's the only thing you can...
No, there's no other way to look at it. None. Okay, thank you all for being here. Great job tonight. Thanks, partner. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Jeff. My pleasure. Okay. Good night, everyone.
We will be back with hour 3 in just a few minutes. Hold on.